Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the very first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, St. Paul takes an extremely firm grip on our Lord's parousia, and especially that great final judgment that brings terror for those who, due to the corruption of sin, have rejected the very gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul speaks very clearly of the damning doom for Satan and his minions. And yet, on the other hand, there is that great hope of glory in the consummation of salvation for the invisible church and for her saints who have held fast to that gospel of our Lord through his gift of faith worked in our hearts and our minds by the very power of his word. Even in the midst of persecution and bearing the cross, the Thessalonians are obliged to return thanks to God for providing faith and strength and perseverance in the midst of a sin-corrupted world. And it is right, meet, and salutary that you and I do well to hear the very word of Christ and to return thanks to him for all that he freely gives us from his divine and merciful hand. The greater the persecution, the more vibrant faith becomes and the more one tenaciously clings to the Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. One thing I've taken note of as I've traveled occasionally to third world countries where the face of sin and persecution is literally up close and personal and cannot be masked as it sometimes is in our country, is that the downtrodden and impoverished saints have a very strong faith, a faith that lives day to day and relies firmly upon Christ for salvation and strength in the midst of dire adversity. Another example can be cited even closer to home in Salt Lake City, Utah. I've preached at Redeemer and Grace Lutheran churches there. And a place where the cult of Mormonism abounds, and within that context, there is a great love and appreciation for one's fellow Lutheran Christian. An appreciation that abounds in a culture where people are literally being led down the path to eternal destruction at the hands of the devil himself. And at the end of that path, as St. Paul tells us, there is judgment at the hands of the one true and righteous God. It is simply amazing to hear the words of a Mormon who has been converted to the Christian faith by grace. For us, these words may seem very simple, and yet they are significant, they are deeply profound. And they go something like this. I was in a religion of law, a religion of eternal death, but by God's grace in his Son, I have been delivered by the gospel, the only antidote to sin, death, and the devil. I have been given the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And I can tell you firsthand that these are sweet, moving words from a person's lips who was at one time on their way to hell and eternal destruction. Paul says that he boasts in the faith of the Thessalonians. And we know that this is not a glorying or a boasting in oneself. It's not about us. It's a boasting that encourages the communion of saints, the una sancta. It is an affirmation of genuine saving faith and brave patience in the midst of persecution, both former persecution that has left its indelible scars upon the human heart and the physical body, and persecutions that are currently at the very moment for the Thessalonians are unfolding. Our Lord tells us this: if the world hates you, Know that it has hated me before it hated you. To be sure, throughout the world in this day and time, these circumstances continue to exist. Reed Lessing, who's at the St. Louis STEM, writes these words. Today, there was a global tragedy of epic proportions. Today, 35,000 people died. All of the victims were children. But worst of all, this disaster will happen again and again and again. But this is only one of the numerous challenges that face a church that seeks to witness to the gospel through acts of mercy. Other pressing, horrific issues include people who suffer due to AIDS, unjust laws and lawlessness, forced child slavery, and prostitution, and the list could go on and on and on. We know that according to the Deus Absconditus, that God does permit suffering and persecution according to his hidden divine will. And so here, for the Thessalonians, this current persecution is according to God's will, and yet it is also a verdict that is pronounced upon the faithful saints. As Paul tells us, you are worthy of his kingdom. That is his everlasting kingdom of heaven at the final consummation, the parousia. In the final judgment, the whole universe of angels and men will attest that God is righteous in acquitting believers, that God is equally righteous in condemning the unbeliever. Those who are clothed with the bright raiment of the righteousness of Christ by grace through faith are declared righteous by a righteous God. And those who appear in the unrighteousness of their sin and their unbelief must be condemned by a righteous God as well. You see, there's no wiggle room whatsoever. No wiggle room. Even as the unbeliever may conjure up in his or her mind the wildest scheme or dream that they will be free from final judgment. And so St. Paul tells us that those who have afflicted the saints demand that God respond with his righteous judgment. God crushes the afflictors of the righteous forever, and he frees the afflicted, the saints, and places them into his eternal kingdom. The afflictions that the Thessalonians suffered tested the very genuineness of their faith. And in the end, their reward is the eternal rest in the kingdom of God that shall see no end, because they have held firmly to their faith by the grace of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it is for each and every one of us, as St. Paul tells us, wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For I consider that the present sufferings of this time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed for us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ will return with dunamis, with unimaginable power and glory that is exceedingly beyond our wildest comprehension. And he will render vengeance against those, as Paul says, do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And Paul, very simply, does not mince words whatsoever. He states that they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the Lord and away from the glory of his might. And so just as God has turned his countenance, his face, his cross upon toward us in his Son, our Lord and Savior, so on that last day, that day of eternal destruction, he will turn his face away from those in unbelief. And this is not some sort of annihilation. This is not some sort of nirvana, a nothingness that some espouse. This is hell. This is eternal damnation in a timeless darkness and a gnashing of teeth. We are told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that, "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." And 1 John chapter 2 tells us, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." As children of God, as saints in Christ, we will on that last day surround our Lord Jesus Christ with praise, honor, and glory. And we will marvel at his glory. The damned are removed from his glory, and we, his saints, his children, will not only see his glory, but also glorify him eternally. While we walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by faith and rejoice in his gifts of word and sacrament here and now, we will one day see him face to face. And on that day, in the multitude of the saints, the multitude of the faithful, we will rejoice in the gift of everlasting life. And faith is the center of all of this. And it comes to us through our Lord's gospel call. And this calling produces in us goodness in our hearts that produces good works for the sake of that same gospel grace. So that, as Paul says, the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in another place, "For what is our hope, our joy, or our crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.